I wanted to focus in on the Millie Weaver story that happened over the weekend. But we were both talking and we said, let's wait for the indictment to come out and see exactly what was going on. It happened on a Friday. She had to stay in jail for the weekend. And we finally got the indictment. We finally got to see what was going on. I mean, the charges against her were robbery, tampering with evidence, obstruction of justice, and domestic violence. And I'll put a link in the description box, even though I'm sure everyone has seen it, of the indictment. I don't even know if it's necessary for me to put a link, because it's all over the internet. Look, I saw the Shadowgate documentary, and it was good. It was good, about like an hour long, I think. It makes some interesting points. It exposes some interesting things. Okay, the Atlantic Council and the think tanks and the generals that, you know, they're generals in the U.S. Army and then the revolving door, and then they go to work for the think tanks. And those think tanks are connected to journalists and media and, you know, the whole thing that we've kind of been documenting over the past couple of years, and all our viewers know about it. And the whistleblowers had some interesting commentary as well as that she had in the documentary, the two whistleblowers. I didn't want to jump to the conclusion that her arrest was because of the documentary, because I didn't think that it was at a level of, say, an Assange arrest, where WikiLeaks was really putting out document dumps and document leaks that were just out of this world over many, many years out of this world. Hats off to Millie Weaver. It was a good piece of journalism. The fact that she was arrested as a journalist sucks. But from what we understand, and we have to wait for the confirmation of all of this as well, because we're basing this on a comment on one of her her Facebook posts, I believe, that it was supposedly her mother that said sometime around July they had a domestic issue and they broke her phone and the phone had some information on it. Then they kicked her out of the house. Once again, it's all over the internet, guys. Yeah. You can find it, but eventually they arrested her. And the mother said that she wished that she could have dropped the charges. But once you make those charges to the prosecutor's office, to the state, that's it. Mm-hmm. You can't take them back. They're going to follow through. It's out of your hands at that point. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Millie Weaver is out. She posted bail, a couple $1,000s. Mm-hmm. Her Shadowgate got a lot of publicity. The one part that I think was silly was that the social media companies removed the video from all over the place. Mm-hmm. But I'll make a real quick point. I don't know if they removed her video because of the deep state stuff. I think they removed it. This is just my hunch, because at the end she has like a 5-10 minute thing about the CV. Mm-hmm. And I know from our videos, whenever we even mention the word, the full word of CV, sometimes even pandemic, that's it. YouTube just comes down hard on us.
Yes.
So I think the fact that she had 5-10 minutes of that may have been the reason that the video was scrubbed. That's just my hunch. Mm. But anyway, Alex, what do you make of this? There were a lot of comparisons to Assange with Millie Weaver. And I'll also just give a big shout out to the Viva Frey once again. His channel, which does a good job of documenting the Millie Weaver case. I'll put a link for that as well. So you can get insight on the Millie Weaver case from a legal expert, but we have our own legal expert. Here's Alexander, what do you make of this?
Right, let me first quickly confirm or at least, you know, reassert the point you made about, you know, any kind of reporting on CV brings down all kinds of problems. We are very aware of that, and it does affect the way we cover that story. So, you know, we have to be careful, and I'm sure that played a role. Now, I looked at this indictment quickly. I have to say, obviously, this is something that's happened in a US jurisdiction. In Britain, this would have been handled very differently. I mean, the idea of, arresting person and charging them in this fashion in Britain for such a, I think, relatively minor domestic altercation and keeping them in prison, or rather not in prison, sorry, in detention for a whole weekend. That seems to me extremely excessive. Even posting bail seems to me, ex requiring somebody to post bail seems to be completely excessive. And if it were not for the fact that this was another jurisdiction, if this had happened in Britain to a journalist, I would be very concerned about it. But this is not Britain. This is the United States. It's the state of the United States. It's got its own ways of doing things. And apparently, this is the way things are done there. I find that surprising. I find that disturbing. I think it's wrong as a British, person who knows the British system. But I tend to agree with you. I don't think this is directly connected to her Shadowgate documentary. I mean, it doesn't seem to me as if it was. I hope, because I think it was a good documentary, I hope that this is resolved quickly. I think if the mother doesn't want to press the charges, then it seems to me very strange that a prosecutor would want to continue with them, given the fact that the mother would have to be the principal witness in the trial. So I would have thought that would be a reason for, rowing back on this. But I don't think that this is ultimately a sign of some great crackdown. I mean, I'm not saying, that that isn't a risk. I'm not saying that isn't going to happen at some point, but I don't think this is the case where that starts with. So my inclination is to agree with you. Now, with Assange, I'm afraid it's completely different. Assange, of course, is in prison in the most in Belmarsh prison, one of the most tightly controlled prisons in Britain. He's been gone through a whole year of this extraordinary extradition process that the United States has brought against him. The Justice Department of the United States has brought against him. This is entirely based on his work as a journalist. That extradition proceeding case has been riddled with problems. He's been held in detention throughout it. And now we have this extraordinary, bizarre situation of a superseding indictment, which has just been served upon him, replacing the previous indictment. And we now have this extraordinary, bizarre situation where apparently, in order to continue the extradition proceedings on the basis of this new indictment, he's going to be released and then immediately arrested all over again, which I think is absolutely an Alice in Wonderland stuff. And as far as I'm concerned, shows how, bad the situation with Assange is. I'm sorry to say this. I have a great respect for Millie Weaver. I think she's a fine journalist. I think she does lots of good work. I just don't see the two situations as at all comparable. And, good for her. Good that she's doing the work that she is. I think this case is disproportionate. I think the way the authorities have gone about it is disproportionate. I hope the case isn't proceeded with. I gather the mother doesn't want it to be proceeded with, but I don't think the two, the Assange case and the Millie Weaver case, are in the same category. That's my view.
Yeah, just to wrap it up, Alexander, I mean, what they're doing to Assange is just absolutely cruel.
Absolutely.
For
Well,
Millie Weaver, there's a couple of more points. Alex Jones, I was watching some of his commentary. He did distance himself from the documentary of Weaver. He just said she's a contractor and I didn't see anything and I don't know anything. So he said that during his show about Millie Weaver in the documentary. That was interesting to see. Just a footnote there. Roger Stone said that there were some inconsistencies in the documentary because he's mentioned a lot in it. And he did mention some inconsistencies with the way he's portrayed. So Roger Stone said, while it's a good documentary, he said, there are some inconsistencies. And also Alex Jones reported that one of the whistleblowers, one of the two whistleblowers that Millie Weaver had on the documentary, the guy, I forgot, Doherty or something like that, I forgot his name, actually showed up at Alex Jones's house or at the InfoWars offices and said that it's Roger Stone that's behind the entire deep state stuff, like claims like that. You could find it on
Yeah, I know.
InfoWars. Really strange stuff. But and Roger Stone was like, okay, it's starting to get a little ridiculous here. So
Yeah.
Very weird things.
Very weird things. I mean, you know, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's a, it was a perfectly good documentary. I'm certainly not going to. I either it's a good documentary. I think this is a disproportionate case. I don't think it's a deep state plot. And if one of the whistleblowers is saying that Roger Stone is behind it all and behind everything, and he is, you know, the deep state, well, I'm afraid that's crackers. I mean, that would be completely
it got a little weird. It got a little weird. It's all on Alex.
I mean, Roger Stone is a victim. He's not a perpetrator. Be very clear about this. I mean, he may be technically guilty of certain crimes, offences, but the treatment he's received has been absolutely out of proportion. And in fact, in my opinion, they're not even properly speaking crimes, because I don't think that they had any real, I mean, the kind of things that people say and do, but which have no real significance. And I certainly don't think he should be prosecuted in the way that he was. But I'm not, this isn't about Roger Stone. It's about Millie Weaver. I don't think she, you know, I think she's going through a bad time with this case. I hope it's all resolved. I predict, by the way, it will be resolved. I think she could have did a good documentary. I don't think there are any great overarching political issues, but I do think that the system in Ohio is, frankly, rather, I would say almost borderline oppressive, frankly, in the way it handles cases like this. But that's my opinion. As somebody who lives in Britain, people in Ohio may have a different view.
Yeah, keep in mind that there also might be some prejudice there of the fact that she's a conservative, the fact that maybe she's associated with Alex Jones. So maybe they, you know, well, that, screw around with her a bit.
Well, that is entirely possible. I mean, that is entirely possible. I think that's quite likely, actually. I mean, given the way in which the system works now in the United States, I mean, you know, Michael Flynn case
comes to mind.
I mean, you know, we have to say that there are elements of the judicial system and of the criminal justice system which are, frankly, become grotesquely partisan. And in an appalling way.
Yeah. So let's move on to the video that has gone viral, Alexander in Portland, and the man that was viciously attacked. Once again, this is a video that I'm sure everyone has seen. It's all over the place. The man that was attacked, his name is Adam Hanner, and he crashed his car after he was being chased down by peaceful BLM protesters. And I say peaceful protesters. Obviously, they weren't peaceful. And, you know, they just beat the man senseless. Let me read you a title, though, from Summit News, Alexander. And I think this kind of adds a twist of tragic irony to the situation. Portland police: man viciously beaten by BLM protesters was trying to help transgender victim of robbery. So how about that? They called him a white supremacist. They pulled him out of his car. They made him kneel down and sit down. He didn't resist whatsoever. You know, he just sat there and took it. And then they just knocked him. They kicked him unconscious. And at the end of the day, it looks like the Portland police are saying this is a man that was actually looking to protect a transgender victim from robbery. I mean, it's just getting insane.
Well, it is absolutely shocking. It is completely disgraceful. It is a sign of the complete breakdown of public order and law and order in Portland, which doesn't surprise me, because, of course, we've had this endless situation in Portland, which seems to be going from bad to worse. We've seen these violent elements, because that's what they are, legitimized and supported by members of the political system, which I find absolutely shocking. And what we've just saw in Portland was an appalling and violent crime. And the people who carried it out, the people who carried out this brutal and violent and senseless assault, need to be arrested and prosecuted and sentenced for this thing. I mean, it is, I can't, you know, it's so obvious that one has to say this, that I'm just stunned that I have to say this. What was done there to this man was an appalling crime. It's almost, a most violent crime, we would say in England, an assault occasioning grievous bodily harm. And these people talk about white supremacists and all of this kind of thing. I mean, this is a label they attach now, indiscriminately. This man was obviously a victim, but I mean, quite apart from anything else, what this shows is the dangers when people like this, people, rioters and people like this, are allowed to exercise control in this kind of way, because they don't obviously know the full details of the case. They're not the police. That's not their function. They can't assess exactly what's going on. They just go around and beat somebody up in this appalling fashion. And it's, not justice, it's violence and it's criminal action. And if I may say, the people who've done it obviously are guilty, seriously guilty of a very serious crime. But the major criminals, or at least the people who are most responsible, maybe not as criminals, but the people who are most responsible, are the political leaders who have allowed this situation to fester and continue for as long as it has. And I hope and believe that there will be political consequences, because this cannot be allowed to continue for much longer. You have to have a situation in the United States, in any city, indeed in any country, where people are allowed to go about their lives in a normal way, and where in this particular case, this particular individual were not merely going about his life, he was actually trying to help someone.
So, three quick comments. They know who the person was that kicked this man to the ground unconscious. They know who he is. From what I understand, there has not been an arrest, even though they have a positive identification on this man. He has not been arrested, from what I understand, at this moment. The mainstream media, outside of Tucker Carlson, from what I've seen, they're not reporting this. They're not reporting this. For obvious reasons, it doesn't fit their narrative. And when I was watching Tucker Carlson's intro, where this was the centerpiece of his intro, this incident, Tucker Carlson said something along the lines of, "The city of Portland has fallen."
Well, a city is a civitas. It's from Latin. It is not just a collection of buildings and people. It is a community. It is a community that survives and functions because there's laws, there's regulations, there's give and take between people. It's city, civilization, all of these words, they're interconnected with each other. What we saw just in that video is not civilization. It's not a city even. It's not citizens work, living alongside each other. It is the breakdown of all of these things. So when Tucker says that he's fallen, well, it has. I mean, maybe it can be put together again, but as of this moment in time, it has fallen. And not just that, can I just say, it is a shocking thing that the person who is responsible for this has not been arrested. I mean, it shows a breakdown of law and order, even if, and I'm going to apply the presumption of innocence to absolutely everybody. There is, well, clearly there's some kind of a crime. There is a presumption, there is a suspicion that this particular individual is a participant in a crime. Given that it's a crime of violence, of course you arrest him. You arrest him, you question him, you carry out a proper investigation, and if the investigation suggests that there's a case, you bring charges. That's also what happens in a civilized, law-abiding community. That is what a city is. Now, the media not reporting this, Well, first of all, is that a surprise? It's not a surprise to me because, of course, they've been cheering on so much of this activity for so long. It must be incredibly embarrassing to them when this kind of thing happens. But it's all over social media, it's all over the internet. People know the media is destroying its own credibility by not covering these kind of stories. But the fact that it's not covering these kind of stories shows that it is not functioning properly. When it is not functioning properly, given that it too is an essential part of the community, particularly in a democratic, law-governed state, that gives you another sense that things are falling. So Tucker is absolutely right, not for the first time. And this is something that is unforgivable. And the authorities, if they're going to try and restore order to Portland, need to get a grip on these things, and they need to arrest, investigate, prosecute the kind of people who do these things. Otherwise, there will be a continued slide.
Yeah, well, we'll leave it there, Alexander. Going back to Millie Weaver's documentary, the media, unfortunately, the mainstream media is not a part of the community. They're a part of the deep state.
Well,
So
indeed. Well, indeed. Well, we see this
they
all
are
the time.
doing
I
their
mean,
job, just not for the right people, for the right purposes.
yes. Can I just say, actually, I'm going to just say something personal. I mean, I have seen political violence. As a child, I saw political violence, which ended in a dictatorship in my own country, which is Greece. I don't want to see this happen in other countries. I certainly don't want to see it in the United States. This is a serious thing. If you don't have law and order like this in the streets, then that is what leads to that kind of situation. So people need to get a grip on this. They need to understand what's going on in their own country, and they need to respond.
Yeah, well, we've got 3 months until the election, less than
We
3 months,
said
so expect a lot more of this
absolutely,
type of madness.
absolutely, absolutely,
That's my thoughts.
madness.
Yeah, it's madness. All right, we'll leave it there. Subscribe, hit the like, drop a comment, PayPal, Patreon, Subscribestar, and the Duran Shop. This is my USA mug because even though there is all kinds of madness going on right now in the USA, I believe in America.
Well, and I have a great affection for America, as I made absolutely clear. I think in the end, the United States will come through this. I still believe that. I mean,
They
I
will.
really do. I really do believe that. I mean, I
And the
think this is
economy, will come through it. And we've been
absolutely.
reporting on that as well. And
Absolutely. We've been right about this. We did a video about that a short time ago, and we've been proved right. But anyway, the United States, you can find mugs of it on our shop. And if you support us by buying things on our shop, we are grateful because obviously doing programs like the ones we've just done is not easy for us.
Yeah, this video will definitely be demonetized for
Well,
sure, but
some people
okay.
won't like it anyway.
Yeah, a lot of people won't like it, but hopefully our reviewers like it. All
Yeah,
right,
you do.
Alexander, take care.